Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Business of Money podcast. I am your host, Nia Patrick, and today I'm going to talk to you about inventory. For a business, inventory is an asset, and it's something that you can make or purchase at a cost and then repurpose it or sell it as is, and you are able to mark up whatever you paid for it, and then you mark it up, and then you mark it up again, and then you mark it up again, and then you mark it up again, and then you figure out where you're going to hit your profit margin, and then you can sell it at a retail price. And when you are a small business, this is great because you can see your money. But on the flip side, you're holding something that you are hoping is going to sell. So when you're looking at your costs, one cost that may be a hidden cost is in your inventory. So you heard me just say, you buy it at cost, and then you mark it up, and then you mark it up. Well, most folks guess when it comes to inventory. If they have a t-shirt, and let's say they sell t-shirts, they sell the t-shirt for $10, but the shirt might have cost them $5. So they figure they make a $5 profit. But then there's the holding cost. Between the time that you bought the t-shirt to selling the t-shirt, there's a cost associated with that. You need to find out how long does it take you to move your inventory, because the longer you hold it, it may take it's taking a long time to sell. That's number one. That's a hidden cost. Because most don't buy a t-shirt and sell it the very same day. Most buy the t-shirt and then they market it and then it gets sold. And it doesn't matter if you're selling the shirt online or if you are selling the shirt physically. There's still a holding cost. How long is it sitting in your inventory? Then the other hidden cost is not pricing the t-shirt in a manner that still makes you a profit. Let's say you get the t-shirts wholesale, that's $2. You want to mark it up several times so that when you give a discount, you're still making a very good profit. So the shirt at $2 should be sold, let's say, at $35, $45, $50, $65. So if you were to, and that means there's nothing on, it's a plain shirt. Once you put something on the shirt, the price is different. There's a plain shirt and there's a shirt with graphics and things that you might have done. That's your labor cost of putting something on that shirt. That labor cost is separate, but it's a part of the total product, right? And then you have different designs. So maybe you have four designs that you're putting on a t-shirt. That's still the labor cost. So again, the plain t-shirt is marked up 3, 4, 5 times. The t-shirt that has a labor cost tied to it, how long does it take for you to make the shirt? That how long it does it take to make you make the shirt, put the design on the shirt, is the hidden cost. And then from the time it takes you to get the shirt, to make the shirt, how long does it take you to make the shirt? How long does it take you to sell the shirt? Those are two different sets of costs. The labor costs and then turning that finished product into a sold product. Those are your hidden costs, and you have to look at the timeline and figure out a way to reduce the productivity of making that shirt. And then you have to put a number to that. And then you're able to see how much money you're losing and find ways to increase productivity so that you can get the shirt out faster. And that's when you look at the production process. Well, that production process is the cost. How long does it take you to make the shirt? And then how long does it take you to sell the shirt? Those are your hidden costs. So when you mark up the product, you're marking it up, one, to make a profit. But if you're going to sell the shirt and it's not moving, you're able to discount the shirt to move it, but you're still making a very healthy profit. And then how many units are you moving at any given time? Now, here's where your other costs start to become a little bit more different than productivity costs. If you are not tracking how many you sell every single time you sell it, you won't know how long that it takes for you to sell a product, to sell a particular, just take one. You won't know how long it's going to take you to sell the product. This is why stores have same day sales. You sold 20 units last year, same day, same time. And then, so let's say at 12 o'clock, you ran a check and you sold 20 units between 8 and 12. Last year, between 8 and 12, you sold 50 units. Demand has gone down over the course of a year for your product at the same time frame as last year. That means that what was going on last year, you selling the product, to what's going on this year, you selling the product. And then if you look at same day, month to month, you're able to see the details of how long is it taking you to sell a product same Tuesday, the first, to the first, not Tuesday, the first of the next month. How many did you sell on the first month? How many did you sell on the second month? And then you start compiling the numbers monthly and then quarterly. And then once you're able to see three quarters, you can say sales have either gone up or have gone down. And the question is why? That why is where your costs are hidden at. Did it take you longer to make a shirt? Did it take you longer to sell the shirt? Did you have a promotion going on? Did you have to discount the shirt? Discounting the shirt is a cost because you're losing money on your original projection. So there are all sorts of costs hidden in inventory, which I will tell you, I do not have inventory. I don't like inventory is great because you can take it out, put it on a, stick it on a box, stand on a corner, and someone might buy it. Services, it takes a little bit more thinking involved in changing people's mindset to purchase your service, but you can still do the same thing in a service. How long does it take you to create the service? To how long does it take you to sell the service? And then again, looking at same day, this is how many appointments were booked last year to how many appointments were booked this year and why. And from month to month and then quarterly. And this is when you're looking at the analytics of your business in trying to find those hidden costs that is depressing your profit margins and stagnating growth. And then are people not liking your product? Are they looking at variety? Like, what are people actually buying and why aren't they buying yours? And how do you pop it up so that you generate interest to continue to have people shop with you? Is something I'm still learning. My products and my services are up. I got rid of my merch store. My services are up. They have to be marketed. The only way to market right now is to share about what it is I do and then inform the public and how I can help. Do I help find that hidden cost? No, that's your job to find the hidden cost. It's my job to make you aware of those hidden costs. And most small business owners don't think about hidden costs. They look at direct costs. I went to the store, I bought the material, I changed it into a t-shirt, and I sold it. Wow, I'm doing really well. And then now I have all this inventory, and for some reason, my product's not selling. How come? Well, the answer was hidden in the very beginning of production. And most small businesses don't sit down and look at that. Okay, so let's take one more example. You are, and I'll give you a case study. I had a client who, he ran an events business and a very good one. It was an apartment events company, meaning he did brunches and lunches and the festivals and stuff like that for apartment communities. Very, very good business. Never even knew a business like that existed till I started working with him. But I lived in an apartment and he was doing an event at the apartment. My property manager knew I had an MBA in finance and said he needed help. Okay, cool. He didn't have an accounting system set up. That was his first problem. He needed help with that. But the immediate, that was the overall problem, and that was the project. The immediate, and he didn't know how to use the software. The immediate problem was he had $56,000 that he was bringing in, and yet he didn't realize none of that money was actually coming into the business. That's how much he had outstanding in invoices. Well, that was the first problem. He invoiced his property and they weren't paying him. And he just couldn't understand why. He would send the invoice via email, standard procedure, but they weren't paying it on time. And he couldn't understand why. And he's like, I don't understand. They're not paying me. And I'm like, well, you know, you're doing things a little differently than most event planners. Most event planners, they get the money up front. They get 50% up front, and then it's progressive billing. Then they collect the next 25% a little later, and then they collect the last 25% long before they touch the property. You are doing the work and sending the invoice last because you want to be different. But standard practice is you get 50%. That's a deposit to even hold the date. And there should be a cancellation fee involved in that. Then you collect your next 25. Then you collect your next 25 so that you're all paid up before you get on the property. Now you don't have to worry about collecting a bill and sending an invoice. You got paid your money all up front. And then you go on about your business and go to the next property. Oh, well, they won't do that. No, they won't do that with you. That's how you run your business. That's not how Putting in the Sky runs their business. That's not how our big event planners run their event firms run their business. You shouldn't be, but you're small and you don't know anybody. You want to be able to, you want to be able to satisfy the customer and be different. But that he decided he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to ruffle the feathers. He had really good relationships. He knew they would pay. They was just taking a long time to pay. Okay, that was your first problem. The second problem was he wasn't compliant, which was the main reason he wasn't getting paid. His paperwork wasn't in order. And somebody gave him a tip that his paperwork wasn't in order. So now he has to have liability insurance. and he has to prove it. He didn't have that. Business liability insurance. He had to have show that his trucks were insured because the food came in on the trucks. He had to have that. He had to have a license to run a business. He didn't have that. He had to, and all of those cost him money, but he was always cash short. And that was his challenge. He had no cash flow coming in. So it was always a challenge, and his credit wasn't very good personally. So he could drive the truck, business credit he had, but personal credit he didn't have because anybody can lease a truck. So he had these cash flow challenges, but he wasn't set up properly. And that's because he just didn't want to be. Not that he didn't know to be. He just didn't want to be because no one had the businesses he was serving were okay with operating under the radar because he was cheap. So now he has these added costs. And of course, did he raise his prices? No. Because now he has all these added costs. His food costs were high because he went to Costco. So he was smart in going to Costco and shopping with Restaurant Depot. So he did get wholesale. And he was like, do you think that's a lot of food? Because he was always giving away. He was always doing a lot of food. That was how he was able to really save because he knew how to build packages. So he had the right idea. He would do package A, package B, package C. Pick one. And each one just maybe didn't have, it always had hamburgers, hot dogs, and chips and juice, right? Like if it's a movie night. Brunch would be something that, anything that could be cooked really quickly, sausages, pancakes, and they were already pre-made. So there was no making the pancake batter. It was getting the pancakes from Costco and just putting them, cooking them and then keep them on a warming, you know, on, with this aluminum stuff and then just keeping them warm. And the only thing that would be made would be omelets. But he didn't really charge more for the omelet. It was part of a package. So there were hidden costs there as well. But again, sausages pre-done, bacon pre-done, and all you have to do is just keep it warm. And pastries, you know, that you can buy off the shelf. So brunches were always good. And it was dinner, the whole night, it very well done. He had all his equipment, so his inventory was all paid for. There was no going out to get equipment. He had tables, he had chairs, tablecloths, all the condiments, all this. So he kept his costs in terms of inventory low. It was just the food costs were always high, and he was always thinking he was undercharging. But he was always asked back because the help was good, the food was good. And they cleaned up, they set up and they cleaned up. So they got a good full service event company that everyone always had a good time. And so once he became compliant, then he was in a much better position. Now, I'm not with that company anymore. I wound up leaving because I found out that we didn't know if his name was his name, and he wasn't paying taxes on the money. And his money was always kind of funny. So I leave clients for when I find out that they're not quite legal in their business dealings. Not because he wasn't compliant with the apartment community, but his money was funny and I didn't know if he was working on an assumed name. A lot of the inventory was stolen. So there was all these other things, you know, you find out in business, you're like, oh, I see how you operated. Well, you didn't even pay for this. No, I stole all of this. What? And people were constantly stealing from him. So, and he was, his workers were a bad crowd. It was just overall the operations of the business. He was making money, but the internal part that you can't see, I just didn't agree to anymore. But he was bringing in $53,000 a month, right? Because he's doing pool parties, like three of them at a time, with different crews all around the city of Atlanta. So again, good business, just bad operations. And my point is that you can make a lot of money, but there are always going, I think I'll name this hidden costs. There will always be hidden costs in the business that will eventually tap into your cash flow. So the takeaway is monitor your cash flows, make sure that you're compliant, include that compliance cost in the price, offer package services so that you're able to capture the price points that give your customers choices and suggest the middle one versus the highest one. And this way, you're able to downgrade or upgrade them when they want something that you know that they want. Just think about your Netflix and your, or think about your football packages or something like that. It gives you tiers. And collect your money up front. Today, there's no reason to invoice anyone. There's too many online payment processors where you can collect your money up front and only work with those who you get your, I don't care what business you're in today, collect your money up front. Unless you know that you're going to get a payout, make sure you know you're going to get paid. Make sure you understand that they're going to pay in a timely manner, period. And now it's not a matter of an invoice. It's a matter of, well, it is a matter of invoice, but you know that you're going to get paid immediately, right? Not 3 weeks later. It's the moment I send the invoice, you're going to pay it. There is a window of less than 5 minutes, period. There's no hour window. There's no 2 day window. No, I'm getting paid the moment I send the invoice. Somebody sees it and they're going to be able to click pay. And the money sits in my account. I have an e-commerce site and my digital products, you pay before you get the product. Which is why I'll never be in a business where I'm not getting paid upfront, ever. I'm never going to be in a business where I'm not getting paid upfront, and I want all of it. So you have to choose the type of business that you're in, because when I get paid, that's my cash flow. I have taxes to pay. I have bills to pay. I got to pay myself. So I'm thinking of myself first, not my customer. I did not build the business for the customer. I built the business to solve my problem first. And then other people are going to help me solve my problem, having to earn a living. And that's how I'm going to always stress. The business is created to solve your problem, not someone else's problem. And you solved your problem by creating the business to help other people solve the same problem. I think that is the takeaway for solopreneurs today. Solve your problems, not everybody else's problems. You're solving your problem. I don't like working for somebody. I'm solving my problem by having a business where I can do what I want and earn money, and it's legal. Morally, it's satisfying. Emotionally, it's satisfying, and it's challenging. How do I get the customers to believe me? How do I get my clients to believe in me? Well, that's the business. What problem am I solving? My financial problems, money coming in. So I decided to focus on what I'm best at, financial management. What are you really good at? What you're good at, someone else is not. If you're not good at money, then you need to be around people who are good at money, like hanging out with me, like you are, if you're listening, thank you very much, with the Business of Money podcast. So I can set you straight. Focus on your money. Solve your problem, and then take that problem-solving skill and help everybody else solve their problem. Solve the same kind of problem. Don't solve problems you don't know how to solve. The business's goal is to solve a problem. The bigger the problem, the bigger the profit. All right, that's it for me. This is Nia. It's the Business of Money podcast, part of the Women's Wealth Institute signature brand podcast. And stay tuned for the next one. See you then.